From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is a show where each week we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective. And we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask...
Hi, I'm Derek Cope, race car driver and TV analyst. You've probably heard me talk about Avacor, the revolutionary hair regrowth system that has been successful for most everyone who's used it. Now, listen to what Avacor users have to say about this remarkable treatment.
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Nothing has worked like this product to restore the hair that I had when I was in my 20s. Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
Avacor is safe and effective. It's worked for tens of thousands of satisfied users, including me. Let Avacor work to regrow your hair naturally.
Join the tens of thousands of satisfied Avacor users who have reversed their hair loss. Call toll-free 1-866-761-0954. Use Avacor risk-free for one full year. Call today 1-866-761-0954. That's 1-866-761-0954.
Yeah, my truck doesn't have coverage, but if my boat hit it, will my boat policy pay for the damage to my truck?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical...
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Dr. Phil is on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months, or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love.
If you or a family member is currently without any medical coverage, here's important information. United Health Card now offers a national medical savings program. The cost, $85 a month for singles, $120 a month for a family. Covered costs include hospital, doctor, dentist, even lab and prescriptions. For free information on this medical savings program that has no restrictions, call toll-free 1-888-600-3005. All your medical needs are included, even on your pre-existing conditions. You'll receive a primary care provider directory, explanation of program, terms, and conditions, everything to answer your questions and sign up for this complete medical savings program. Your immediate call guarantees your enrollment at the rate of $85 a month for single, $120 a month for a family. The United Health Card National Medical Savings Program. Value to you and your family. Call 1-888-600-3005. That's 1-888-600-3005. No medical coverage? Call 1-888-600-3005.
Yeah, my wife's pregnant, so since she's driving more carefully now, maybe we could get a discount on our rate, huh?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical...
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Hi, I'm Bill Lester, driver of the number 23 Waste Management NASCAR Nextel Cup car, and this is my team. Actually, I'm backed by 30,000 Waste Management drivers, and we're looking for even more people who are ready to make a difference. So if you're geared up for a career that's going places, call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS. Go ahead and call.
We'll reach you.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green.
think waste management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
There's a moment when you know you've found the love of your life.
It was a bright night. The moon was shining through the clouds.
I don't know whether it was just the atmosphere of the evening.
12 hours went by. That seemed like an hour.
And then he said, I love you. That was the moment.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. At eHarmony, we know that the secret to magical moments like these is being matched on the very deepest dimensions of compatibility, so that when you fall in love, you know it has the depth and richness to last a lifetime.
We just hit it off. We had everything in common.
I was just smitten right then and there. I'll never forget that moment.
I have found the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Let us help you find the love of your life. Log on to eHarmony.com and start the journey right this moment. It begins with the powerful experience of getting your personality profile, a $40 value, yours free, when you log on to eHarmony.com.
Everybody has a different idea of the perfect home.
Now that the kids are grown, we want a smaller place.
We really need more room. There's a baby on the way.
I'll take a place with a garage for my new baby.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. Nobody sells more real estate than RE/MAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Bill Lester, driver of the number 23 Waste Management NASCAR Nextel Cup Car, and this is my team. Actually, I'm backed by 30,000 waste management drivers, and we're looking for even more people who are ready to make a difference. So if you're geared up for a career that's going places, call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS. Go ahead and call.
We'll reach you.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green, think waste management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
Yes, I'm asleep. Aches and pains used to keep me up all the time, but now new Advil PM is changing all that. If I was awake, I'd leap for joy, but I'm not. I'm asleep. See, new Advil PM combines the multi-pain relieving power of Advil with a non-habit-forming sleep aid. Nothing's proven stronger on tough nighttime pain. I'd shout it from the hilltops, but I don't want to wake myself up.
New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Use only as directed.
Where do you want to be?
I'll bet you a dollar if we look on REMAX.com, we'll just find REMAX listings.
I bet you're wrong.
Okay, let's see. REMAX?
James Shaver Jr. on free time in the United States Navy.
In the Navy, I pretty much work in the military intelligence field. Outside of what I do in the Navy, afterwards we get a lot of time off. I like to go out, have some fun, go surfing, live in Southern California. Can't beat it. Great place. Good time.
We believe in a balanced approach to life. Work hard and play hard. To learn more, check out Navy.com or call 1-800-USA-NAVY. Navy, accelerate your life.
How hard can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
How do you like your coffee? Freshly roasted? You can just smell it, can't you? Well, how would you like it brought to you? If you're passionate about your coffee, then a passion for the bean is for you. At A Passion for the Bean, they custom roast coffee beans from around the world when you place your order, so your coffee is guaranteed to be fresh, rich, full-bodied, and full of flavor. That's not the taste that you get from coffee beans that have been sitting on a supermarket or coffee house shelf for weeks. Now, to have the ultimate coffee experience delivered to your home or office, call A Passion for the Bean at 480-703-2326. That's 480-703-BEAN. A Passion for the Bean has joined forces with the American Stroke Association in the fight to end stroke. Now you can help by purchasing an ASA signature blend, and 30% of the proceeds will go directly to the ASA. Help us put an end to stroke. The life you save may be your own. And call A Passion for the Bean today, 480-703-2326.
Thank you.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler again. Sorry for the technical problems, but as you know already, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and we're here every week to deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? Now, before we had the technical difficulties and I got cut off, I wasn't aware that I was cut off, and I gave one of the most amazing introductions I've given to this show in 4 years, and none of you got to hear it. So I'm going to abbreviate it a little bit and get right into the show tonight. Tonight's show is called What is Wrong with GLAD? Now, that doesn't mean what's wrong with being happy. GLAD, in this case, means is an organization named the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. And if you've listened to this show before, you know that I deal with mental health issues all the time. And from time to time, and often enough, deal with issues specifically related to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, which I am a part of. So, recently, I wrote a letter to GLAD that really was a protest. Now, if you've listened to the show before, you know that in dealing with mental health issues, there is no separation in terms of mental health and current events, mental health and cultural issues, mental health and politics, as far as I'm concerned. If you go to my archives, you will even find shows at TellTheTruthFaster.com that you can listen to that deal with political issues and as it connects to our mental health and well-being, and even shows specifically about current events and how depression and other things are affected by them. So for those of you who are aware of what GLAD is, it is an organization that deals with making sure that media, from television to movies to journalism, everything, is actually getting away from homophobic and stereotypical aspects of GLBT people and bringing a more affirmative and positive example. So to give them credit, they've done a lot of good things. But with that being said, I'm going to read you a short piece of the letter that I emailed to them this past week and emailed out to a lot of other people, and then I'm going to introduce you to my guests, and we're going to get right into the show. After acknowledging GLAD for a lot of the good things that I think they've done, I wrote, go on to write, "However, as an AM radio talk show host, I feel truly offended by the lack of acknowledgement you give to my colleagues and me. The importance and impact that talk radio has on our culture and as a source of information for the millions of people who listen in daily goes without saying. Yet GLAD has no category of media awards for the oldest form of audio electronic communication. You offer awards for digital journalism, electronic advertising, and even comic books, not to mention a number of other obscure categories. While I admit that all those in every category contribute to the cause, it is beyond my comprehension that your organization has, since the inception of the awards, ignored the relevancy and power of radio to support your own mission statement. It seems that radio exists in your consciousness only when it takes the form of protest and confrontation with the Rush Limbaughs and the pseudo-Dr. Lauras on the air who continue to be offensive and homophobic. I have had this conversation with Joan Gary on a number of occasions before she left as president. I have emailed and talked to other employees and board members. I have been lobbying for this for about 4 years. I can no longer financially support an organization that takes this attitude and ignores and discounts myself and others who have committed our work to the same mission statement that GLAD espouses." Now, that letter was actually sent to Neil Giuliano, who I understand was the former mayor of Tempe, Arizona. And a little bit later, I'll deal with the response that he gave us. I also invited him, or who's on vacation right now, to come on the show today and offer the invitation to any representative of GLAD. So maybe somebody will call in later. But in the meantime, I'm sorry we've missed a lot of time already today. I want to introduce my guests to you. These were two people who responded to the email I sent out, even though they didn't know who I was, they saw the letter and they responded because they are both radio talk show hosts themselves. The first one is Carell, and he is a groundbreaker in terms of being a host who's a member of the GLBT community, and he is somebody that I really appreciate for the ground he's broken and for the stance he takes. He hosts a weekend drive time show on the number one talk station in Northern California, KGOAM 810. Carell, I want to welcome you to today's show, and yes, thanks for being so patient.
Oh, good evening. No problem. God, I know about technical problems, honey. Trust me.
Well, actually, the original technical problem when I called in, Wade, my engineer, couldn't hear me. I had to call in a few times until I realized my microphone wasn't turned on.
Well, that happened.
How's that for technology?
Yep.
So I also want to introduce my other guest. Harrison, are you there?
Actually, I'm having a little bit of trouble getting a hold of Harrison.
Okay, then we'll get right on with Carell. Let us know if Harrison gets on. But I do want to acknowledge Harrison because he's also another radio talk show host, and he's on Air America, Progressive Talk Radio in Los Angeles. His show is called Harrison on the Edge, and it's a very powerful show, and he introduces himself always as the openly gay son of a neo-Nazi. And so you'll know who Harrison is if we get him on the line in a little bit. I spoke to him earlier this afternoon, and we're expecting him. So, Carell,
yes,
it's just you and me until some callers call in.
That's fine.
And I want to remind those who are in the Phoenix area that the number, if you want to call in tonight, is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. And if you're listening via the Internet outside Phoenix, it's the same number, 480-949-1310. So, Carell, you've done a lot for a long time on radio.
I sound bad.
And
it's been over a decade in just talk radio, yeah. And luckily only for number one stations, which has been really quite funny and amusing and quite a blessing, actually. Andrew and I started at KFI in Los Angeles, and we were the first openly gay couple, because we were a real couple, to have a talk show in drive time on a major market station, and KFI is the number one talk station in the country. And we stayed there until Andrew's untimely death in 2001, and then I moved on to KGO San Francisco and changed California state law so domestic partners could sue retroactively for the loss of their spouses to wrongful death. So it's been quite an eventful 10 years, I would say.
Well, and that tells me something I already know about you and about Harrison, is that you're activists. You don't just roll over and say, oh, I'm not going to do anything about that. And it kind of brings back, I mean, I did a show about a year and a half ago called The Legacy of the Woodstock Generation, which I am, and the whole sense of activism. And this thing with GLAAD brings back to me that same sense of there's a wrong going on here, and it's time to right it.
Well, the thing is, it's not so much activism as it is paying attention. You know, if you pay attention to things and you can figure things out, you can't sit by and just idly let people blather on about something and say, you know, how great something is when it's really not. Because ultimately, I think the goal is to fix whatever is broken. It's not just to decry or to denounce. It is to say, hey, you could be better. You could be better at this. We need you. It's good. You could be better. And I think that goes through with anything. Now, with GLAAD, I mean, it is amazing to me that they will honor things like, you know, best comic book or, you know, best off-Broadway production, best Los Angeles theater production, which I live in L.A., and, honey, those theaters hold 99 people. And each weekend, I reach over 4.5 million. So, you know, I mean, it's just amazing to me, outstanding TV journalism, outstanding reality program. In their Spanish language, they have, like, outstanding celebrity gossip show segment. Not even the whole show, just the segment. So it's amazing that they have always ignored AM talk radio. And when Andrew and I started, there wasn't many of us. I mean, Andrew and I were the first couple to do it. Al Rantel was on at KABC, which, you know, whether Al and I see eye to eye politically or personally, at least he was openly gay and on ABC radio Monday through Friday. Harrison started on the internet and then went to satellite, and now he's on Monday through Friday at KTLK, which is the progressive station in Los Angeles. It's the Air America station here.
You're doing all my plugs for me. That's great. Thank you.
So there's a whole lot of progress being made, but we've always had to. I know I had to, and I know Andrew had to, and I know that Al and Harrison would say the same. We have always had to jump higher, run faster, get higher ratings faster, because everyone expects us to fail simply because we're gay. And so program directors are often afraid to program you because they think their community's not going to like you, and all these other things. So there's all these hurdles to being openly gay in the talk radio industry, an industry dominated by my former, I guess call them label mates, because we were on the same station, Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Laura, because we followed Dr. Laura in L.A. And I look at that, and I think to myself, we're surviving in a shark tank, and you can't even give us a heads up. But instead, you give Dr. Laura all this publicity. You know, you go and protest her, and it's her face that's up on the TV screen. It doesn't say GLAAD. It doesn't say anything. It's her face that's up there. But when's the last time you empowered somebody within your community? And how many awards does Ellen DeGeneres need for being a lesbian? And I mean, it's completely ridiculous to me. How many awards can Will and Grace get when one of them allegedly is gay, isn't even out about it, and the others are straight? I mean, stop tripping over yourself to give straight people awards when there are gay people out there that don't so much as want the award. They just want you to know that they're out there doing what they do.
And get some support that there's something positive out on the air.
Not even positive. I mean, just that there's something. Because we live in very, look, I live in the world of corporate radio. I mean, KFI was Cox, and then it became Clear Channel Communications, the evil empire by some. And then I moved right from that to ABC radio. So I have always lived in the world of large corporate radio. And I will tell you, it is harder and harder to get a voice in large corporate radio because they don't want that many voices. They want to pay one voice to do it in 50 other cities. So it is very difficult to get a voice on talk radio, AM or FM. And every market is shrinking, and where there used to be 10 companies to work for, now there's 2, or now there's 3. I mean, in Los Angeles, all 5 major stations are controlled by Clear Channel, and the 2 major talk stations are controlled by Clear Channel. So basically, that's the company you have to work for in this market. And it is very difficult for anyone, straight or gay, in corporate radio. It is especially difficult for gays and lesbians. And for GLAAD, which purports to be a media watchdog organization, which is, our overseers in the media, for them to say that it's just not important enough to even bother with means that, first of all, they're not in touch with the world. Because when I'm sure Harrison will attest, when I go do personal appearances, yes, out of the 100 or 200 people waiting in line, about 10 or 15% of them are in fact gay. So gay people are listening to talk radio. They're out there trying to figure out what's going on in the world. They're not just little circuit queens pent up in a bar somewhere. They're people who want to know things about the world and themselves. And to just discount the people who are trying to do that in that medium openly is sort of insulting, which is why I've never really supported them. Because what have they done? If Will and Grace and Queer as Folk is the best that we can get on television, then we're doomed.
I want to read one paragraph from Neil Giuliano's response to me because it really reinforces what you're saying and why I got so angry. And after thanking me for the kind words about GLAAD, which I started out my letter with, he says, "Regarding the GLAAD Media Awards, we regularly review the competitive categories in order to determine whether we need to remove, add, or redefine them, given our capacity to monitor and address all we can, especially given the increasing presence of LGBT people and events have in all forms of media. At this time, we feel that adding a radio category, listen to this, is not in the best interest of the Media Awards program."
Of course not. Do you know why? Because they would have to point out that there are so few openly gay people in the broadcast industry, and they'd have to address, A, the homophobia that still exists inside the industry, and, B, they'd have to admit that they failed. Because there's not an openly gay talk show host on in every market in the country. And why isn't there? Why hasn't GLAAD gone and held meetings with all the... Hell, they can call meetings with Mel Gibson when he throws a homo out a window in Braveheart. Oh, yes, they'll arrange lunch at the Ivy, and they'll sit and discuss how he needs to be, you know, kinder and gentler towards homos, and then he'll give $4,000 to a homosexual charity and then get drunk and badmouth us again. You know, I mean... They think they've done something by doing that? They've done nothing. Why haven't they met with program directors in New York, in Miami, in Los Angeles, in Dallas, in, you know, in the smaller communities where gay people are just crying out for someone to, a voice that they can hear that sounds like theirs? Whether it's talking about gay issues or not, it doesn't matter. You know, because I don't do a gay show. I don't do gay topics on my show. I mean, this weekend we're talking about Israel and Iraq. We're talking about the JonBenet Ramsey case. You know, we have a 9/11 survivor from the movie World Trade Center. I have him the following weekend. So I don't do a gay show. But there are gay kids who email me constantly, and I'd love to send these to GLAAD. I get emails from kids 15 years old that say, "I thought about killing myself." And then I went in the room and I turned on the radio and there you were. And you weren't apologizing for who you were. And you were talking about Andrew like he was, you know, you called him your late husband. And you didn't back down to the conservative Republicans who would call in to challenge you or even, you know, deride you because of your sexuality. You made them look like fools. And suddenly I realized that it's not, you know, there's another person out there that thinks like me. There's another person. I'm not alone. And to gay youth, which are the number one for suicide, number one, you know, for gay youth, they need a voice in every town. And why isn't there one, GLAAD? What have you been doing, GLAAD, to get more gay hosts on radio stations? Nothing. All you've been doing is trying to get other hosts off radio. You've been trying to silence the conservatives you don't like instead of empowering the voices from within. And that's a useless cause and a useless organization.
Well, that's exactly my point, and I've been making it for 4 years. And, in fact, you're talking about youth. One of the emails I got today was from a friend of mine, Terry DiCrescenzo, who is the founder and executive director of GLASS, who's been on my show a while back also, which deals with GLBT teens. And her comment was, from the letter, "Well said and absolutely correct. I declined to renew my membership to GLAAD for less important reasons, though I'd have mentioned this if I had thought about it." You know, and I can't tell you how many responses like that I got from people, and often people who are part of GLBT-related organizations.
Right. Well, because we know, but you know what? It's like no one's supposed to say, look, my book is called You Can't Say That. And the reason my book is called You Can't Say That is because I do a column for advocate.com. There's one posted now. I also write for several other publications. And I was finding that some editors were uneasy with what I was saying because I was criticizing things like gay and lesbian centers and saying, what exactly do they do? You know, there's not a gay person I know that goes to one. There's not a gay, you know, so why are they there? Shouldn't they be bridging the gap between the gay and straight community? Shouldn't they be like our liaisons to the outer world? Or when I say that in the age of, you know, the education that we've had for 25 years, if a gay man over the age of 25 contracts HIV, he deserves it. Not that we shouldn't care for him, but still, he deserves it because the education is out there. Everyone is so afraid to criticize from within because they say, oh, we're all supposed to toe some party line. Well, that's the whole point. I've looked at our party line, and I've looked where it's gotten us. We can't get married by constitutional law in 13 states. There's been a constitutional amendment proposal not once but twice, and it will come up in the next presidential again to try to outlaw our marriages on a federal level. In Israel, just last week when they had the World Pride event, which was every 4 years, fringe groups sent out flyers that said you could kill them, a gay person, and collect $4,500. And don't think the religious right in this country wouldn't do that if they could. I mean, there are so many things going on, and we need a voice, and we need a voice in the media, and we need an organization like GLAAD to go out and demand to these markets that they get gay hosts on their stations. You know, put the pressure on television to have a better representation than Queerest Folk or the Fab Five making over straight people tra-la-la. You know, it's like we are many things and many voices, and they don't speak for any of those. And what's worse is their biggest sponsor is Absolute. And our community is filled with substance abuse and crystal meth and all of these terrible things because of low self-esteem and other cultural issues. And what do? They slap a vodka logo on everything. And they think that they've done something important.
Well, I want to read, actually, I'm assuming Harrison's still not there, Wade?
No, he's not.
Okay. Try area code 323 on that number that I gave you.
Okay.
So what I want to read Harrison's email to me, and he goes, "Hi, Stuart. Yep. Ran into them, meaning GLAD, at Sundance, and it's all about Absolute and designer underpants. Funny how they, too, need an enemy to raise cash for their own form of gay narcissism. They really don't seem to give a blank, because I can't say it on the air, else they wouldn't be giving awards to some of the worst high-profile offenders year after year. But the marquee value of those winners as award recipients get plenty of print in People magazine at all. Keep up the fight, dear friend. You are not alone. Yours in fairness in faggotry, Harrison." So it's like everybody seems to be thinking the same. You're making statements. Harrison's making statements. I'm finally making statements about this more publicly than trying to be a nice guy going within the system. Why aren't there more people out there standing up with what we're talking about right now?
I think for me, I can't speak for Harrison, but I know for myself, it's easier to just go on with my life and ignore GLAD. They have no effect on the community. They have no effect on me. I mean, I relate directly to my listeners or to my readers or when I'm on CNN or MSNBC, you know, directly to the viewers. And I don't do it gay or straight. I simply do it as a person in America with an opinion about something. And it's much easier to just think of myself that way. And just, you know, when I get an award, it's like a radio award or something. It's not an award from GLAD, and it's fine with me. I mean, it's just easier for me because I'm not sure that system can even be reformed. And they try. They've had some high-profile changes at the top levels. And, you know, for what? I mean, what exactly do you do? I've been to your parties. It's a bunch of pretty boys and, you know, older, wealthier people just standing around trying to be fabulous. And, oh, well, that's fine. But what is that doing to really change the world of anyone that I know? You know, I lost the generation to AIDS, and now the next generation of young gays don't really have many voices to show that not only did we survive, but that we have moved forward and that we can continue to move forward. And where are those voices, GLAD? What are you doing to help them?
Well, in all fairness, in my opinion, GLAD has accomplished some things that I think are...
I'd love to hear them. Go ahead. Come on.
Basically... The fact that they put even the Will and Graces and these awards and they stand up to even some of the Mel Gibsons and...
But they had nothing to do with Will and Grace. It was already sold and bought and...
But what I'm saying is they keep some kind of presence in the mainstream media, which may not be exactly what you and I are looking for and stuff, but I do believe it's had some effect culturally and consciously across the board, either to get their backs up more like the conservative Republicans or to at least open some minds so that they're considering the possibility that being GLBT is not such a terrible thing
But when you scratch beyond that surface, what did Will and Grace tell us? That a handsome man that lives in New York will not have a boyfriend ever, when we all know if he looked like that, he'd be quite popular. You know, that you could have a stereotypical, you know, gay friend, which God knows, I'm Jack. We all know it. But still, I mean, let's be real. That show, you know, Grace got to have relationship after relationship, be seen in bed with her lovers, with Woody Harrelson, with Harry Connick Jr., with whomever. How many times was Will actually allowed that over the entire span of the series? I'm sorry. I'd like to see my relationship. I was in one for 11 and a half years. I'd like to see it reflected adequately on television. I have yet to. And I'm queer as folk. The only people that could have a stable relationship were the lesbians. They were the ones that got to have a stable relationship with a baby and stuff. Even Michael, you know, traded out lovers every 2 or 3 years. Right. So that's the best.
I agree with you, but I do believe that to a certain extent, some things in terms of consciousness in our culture has been raised because of GLAAD. The issue about gay and lesbian centers that you raised before, I do believe, especially the one in L.A., I mean, God bless them, because if it wasn't for that mental health department there, there would be no place for a lot of people to go who can't afford private therapists, and they are excellent. And I do believe they do outreach to the community at large, but their goal was really to serve an underserved community, and that's what they're doing. So,
allegedly, that's what GLAAD's there for, right? To serve an underserved community, to be our watchdog, you know, to watch our back in the entertainment industry. And yet, I could list you 10 movies in the last year alone that have negative stereotypes of gays or lesbians, or the rule of thumb in a horror movie: if you're fat, black, or gay, you're getting killed first. I mean, I could list you 10 movies where I looked at the screen and said, yeah, that was like sort of unnecessary. It's like, right, did the freak have to be a fag again? You know, right, it's like, could we not just once be serial killers, pedophiles, or, you know, drag queens, whatever? Is there, you know, could we just be real? And it's coming. Little Miss Sunshine's a great movie, and certainly Steve Carell does an excellent job, you know, as just being a gay person living, you know, his life with these other people. It's not a big issue. And right, I think that's what we need to get GLAAD working on with movie producers, as they say they sit down and do. Start presenting just real gay characters. That look at 6 Feet Under. That was so brilliant. The way that that character was written was absolutely brilliant. And their relationship was no more flawed or no less flawed than any of the others on the show. And
exactly.
And they stayed together in the very end. They didn't end up broken and despaired and on drugs. They were together. You saw their deaths. You know how they died. They stayed together until they died. It was
There's one other thing that they did there that very few other shows have done, and it's one of my pet peeves and another soapbox of mine, and that is those guys went into couples counseling, and the therapist that they went to see was really well done, and the interaction with the therapist and that couple, you could really see that it was a positive thing to go to therapy and that it can help couples.
They solved their problem. They got back together,
Exactly. Because,
you know, Alan Ball is a brilliant man, and he said something very brilliant that GLAAD should take heed to as well. It doesn't take courage to play a gay person in Hollywood, but only a coward would not. And, you know, that's a pretty poignant line. This whole thing, you know, Brokeback Mountain, I know the writers. I love the writers. Larry and Diana are fabulous people. But Diana Ossana is a wonderful woman. She is a gracious, gracious woman. And the day of the nominations, I mean, she reached out to me that morning. And it's just so wonderful because of some editorials I had written. And one of them was about how Brokeback Mountain was not a gay movie. And where was GLAAD with that message? Because that's the real message of that movie, that love is sometimes situational.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, if they had not been on that mountain at that time, would Ennis and Jack have been together? Would Ennis have ever in his life gone and slept with a man? Maybe not. So, you know, the love was situational, and quite frankly, it wasn't a gay film. And there's so many wonderful areas to explore there, that sexuality is multi-layered, that it doesn't have to be black or white, that, you know, you could be heterosexual and yet find a man that you, or woman, that you have, you know, absolutely adore and fall deeply and madly in love with and have a passionate affair with. Does it make you gay? No, but sexuality is multi-layered. There were so many great things in that film that GLAAD could have brought to the forefront of the dialogue. And what did we get? You know, parodies is what we got.
Right. You know, and it was the gay love movie.
Right, exactly. And it wasn't.
Well, yeah, and it was nice occasionally, and I mentioned it on this show from time to time, too, is that what you say? It was a love story.
Yeah.
The gender of the two people were irrelevant.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Because it was a beautiful love story.
That's what Diana Ossana, the screenwriter, that's what she and I actually discussed, was that it really is just a love story. It doesn't matter that they're both men or if they're both women or if they're both sheep, if you're in Arkansas. It doesn't matter. you know, it's a love story. And love sort of transcends any kind of boundaries. And sometimes love is a tragedy. When you make mistakes constantly, you know, you're going to end up with pretty much an unhappy life near the end. As NSD, just said, you know, he had two shirts left. That's all he had. When he could have had a wonderful life with Jack. So we are a product of our choices. And that was illustrated so beautifully in that film. I never heard GLAAD have dialogues like this on the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were just patting Jake and Heath on the back for playing gay. Whoopee. They're actors. Actors are supposed to act. At least I thought so. I didn't know that it was. And I'm sure GLAAD tripped over itself to give awards to Jake and Heath. And it's like, why? Do they give awards to gay actors when they play straight people? When a gay actor goes into an interview, does someone ask them, gee, was it really hard to play a straight person? It is so, you know, was it hard to kiss a woman? It's like, no, give me enough whiskey, I'll do anything. But, you know, it's beyond me. It's absolutely beyond me how they can say
Carell,
they positive.
The other point in all these things is the fact that it's about fear and how fear dictates our lives. And that was a big part. Partly, it was the time period of that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe things would have been different if those two cowboys met in the mountain range in 2006. But in the years that they were doing that, culturally, it wasn't anything either one of them
See,
was taught.
I don't
they,
think
they
we're
could
any more
do.
Progressed than that movie in the real bottom line of America. If you really look at what's going on in America, and that's where it's very dangerous, and I love to pat ourselves on the back for the progress made, but the progress made is minuscule compared to the progress needed. And it's just amazing that we have gone backwards instead of forward. Instead of states granting rights to gays and lesbians, they've been taking them away. And that's our fault, and it's GLAAD's fault, and it's all the national gay organizations' fault. They framed the battle as a defense instead of instead of an offense. They only reacted to the Bush administration and what the Bush administration did instead of moving forward with policy. You know, God bless Rosie O'Donnell, but if I would have been GLAAD, I would have chastised her for going up there and getting her marriage license. Now, I've told Gavin Newsom this to his face. It was wrong what he did. It broke the law. And while it might have been acute civil disobedience, it cost us that election. And it really, truly did, because all of a sudden Republicans said, if you vote in Democrats, we're going to let gay people get married. It didn't
Carell,
help us.
I want to thank you for saying that, because I've said that before and people shoot me down even in my own community.
I told Gavin to his face. I said, "Look, you're a nice man, you're cute as hell, but you know, here's the deal. You cost us not only the election, but 11 states then passed laws to outlaw gay marriage. How did you how do you see us moving forward there?" And as I speak to my gay leaders, I say, look, leave the marriage thing alone. My husband died in front of me in 2001, and when he died, the law said that we were nothing but best friends after not being apart for 5 days in 11 and a half years. Died right in front of me in the ER when I knew that the ER was messing up. I knew that there was a problem. I couldn't sue. Well, I changed that state law. But if we would have had federal domestic partner benefits, which Bush even said he would have supported early on, and dropped the marriage thing and said, okay, let's have domestic partnerships with the same benefits as marriage, but we will call them civil unions. Because I don't care what you call it so long as I have the benefits under the law. That's all I care about. But gays and lesbians framed the debate in the wrong way. We're not willing to compromise. And now where are we? Well, we're hosed. That's where we are.
Mm-hmm. Because there's the same thing that I kept saying, too, and people kept saying, how could you say that? It's so politically incorrect. But the reality was, by Newsom doing what he did and a few other places doing what they did, they gave a rallying point for the reactions of the right.
Oh, absolutely.
And it got them out to the polls and voted in larger numbers, and I agree with you.
Any gay pride festival, any 10 minutes at any gay pride festival gives the religious right all they need to raise $10 million. Against us. We are not good at policing ourselves, and that's what the problem with GLAAD is. You know, we are not good at policing ourselves because we refuse to look at who we are, and we refuse to look at the fact that everything must evolve, including our culture, and that maybe some of the ways of the past are not things that we should be emulating now. You know, marching down the street hand in hand, butt naked or nearly so, is no longer a big political statement. It's just chilly. That's all it really is. It's, you know, it's not anything that's a big statement. People have seen two men kissing. It's been done. In the 60s, in the 70s, it was a big deal. It's not a big deal now. How about now in your parades, you have things that empower us, show us, you know, organizations that support us. Show us unions that have put, or, you know, companies that are putting floats in our parades. Let us see the business people and the youth and just everybody, the artists and everything that makes us a wonderful community. Instead of flatbed trucks with disco music and men in leather pants, dancing to It's Raining Men. It's like, you know, this is ridiculous. We haven't changed, and neither has GLAAD. You know, GLAAD thinks, gays would never listen to AM radio, or they never listen to talk radio in general. Well, then, you know, you need to turn in your badge as media watchdog because you're not listening to the most popular form of entertainment in the country. There are 1 billion, with a B, AM, FM radios in the United States of America alone. 1 billion. There's only something like 20 million satellite subscribers right now. There's 1 billion AM, FM radios right now in the United States. If you don't think that 1 billion radios equates to the fact that gay people are listening to it, then you're really out of touch.
And it's insulting because they're saying we don't have brains, we don't have minds, and we don't care about what's going on other than the entertainment industry.
Right, exactly.
And to me, I find that offensive.
Well, it is offensive. It's internalized homophobia. It's them looking at us and saying, boy, they sure can't sing and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what they're doing. Heaven forbid they should, I've heard Harrison's show. The man puts a lot of production into it. You know, working 5 nights a week ain't easy. Trust me, I know, I've done it. And, you know, it's not easy to do. And the man puts a lot into it. I put a lot into my shows, and I'll be working 5 nights starting on Monday. I'm doing a whole 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. thing. And, you know, it's not easy to do that every single day and have to be, you know, informative, entertaining, relevant, have to deal with your program director, have to make sure that you're not breaking any FCC rules, have to wonder if you were a little too gay there. Or, you know, there's many things that you have to think about as you're doing a show. But the one thing I never think about is, oh, gee, I'm doing this for totally straight people because gay people would never listen to an AM radio. I do it for people, you know, just people, no matter what their orientation is. And GLAAD should realize that we, as people, are people first and gay second. And people like to stay informed, at least educated people.
Well, and it takes us back to the premise of my show, too, Tell the Truth Faster, because it's my same approach and philosophy. I mean, yes, we're doing a show very specific to GLBT issues, and I do that throughout the year from time to time. But to me, this is about mental health. This is about relationships. This is about growth and empowerment for human beings.
But it happens to every minority, too. I mean, my God, we can't say colored. You can't say, oh, look at that colored person over there. They'd smack you. They'd be like, no, you can't say that. And yet we still call it the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. What color? Pink, yellow, blue, green? It's like, you know, people come in all colors. So which color are you, you know, associating with here? And I've asked the head of the NAACP that. It's like, dude, let's update the name a little bit, you know? I mean, come on. And look at them. Look at BET. I think BET does more to harm the black community than it does help. I think Logo and Here, the same for us. I mean, Matt is a friend of mine, the gentleman who founded Logo, and we've had this discussion. It's like, Matt, it could have been great, but right now it's just like really mediocre. And, you know, no one I know is watching it, which is even more alarming. But when they do, they're just like, it's just old movies and blah, 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 blah. And so it's, you know, we had this chance to bring a gay and lesbian network to the air, and all we did was bring movies with half-naked boys and sitcoms like Sex and the City, but gay. You know, where's the stories? Where's the truth behind it all?
Right. Talk about your show, because I know we only have a few minutes left, and I guess I'll have Harrison on another night to put his $100 worth in. I've really been appreciating your directness and your honesty and your passion for what we're talking about. Talk about, I know you have a website, which is karelchannel.com, karelchannel.com.
Yes.
Talk about your website and your show for a minute.
Well, the website's just it's a monster. It's just got so much stuff going on, from blog to my writing to stuff about the show. The radio show is heard on KGO, and I've been very blessed. It's a great audience, and it's heard from Canada to Mexico, Saturdays and Sunday nights from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific. I get calls from Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada. I mean, KGO is a powerhouse 50,000-watt station, so I've been very, very lucky for the last 4 years to have that that voice. And, you know, we just get crazy and we keep it real, because I cannot fathom in today's day and age how we have time for anything except the truth. We have a lot of problems that need to be solved, both in the gay community, the straight community, just in the world. And it's like the Israel thing, if I just could digress a moment. I mean, if you're going to sit and try to negotiate peace in this region, you have to talk to everybody in the region. Whether you like them or not, it doesn't matter. You have to. Now, that's the truth of it. We didn't, so this ceasefire won't last. And that'll be the way of the world, because the truth is that you have to. And so that's what we talk about on my show, the truth. It's like, cut through the bull, put all the rhetoric aside, and what's really at the core of this issue? And how does it affect me, more importantly, or you? And then just try to make it relatable, and then usually have a whole heck of a lot of fun.
I agree with you, and actually I'm going to be listening to you more, because I printed out that article you have on advocate.com called Bombing the Runway. We don't have time to get into it right now, but I know you and I have some very like viewpoints.
Well, yeah, the website streams, KGO.com, it streams. So if people want to listen via the Internet, which I have tons of people that do, you go to KGO.com and you can listen to it a live stream. And I have an interactive chat room during the show, which I am in, and my guests, like Greg Palast last week and other people, stay in the chat room after they're on air. And so it's very interactive and very fun, and you can get there to KGO.com.
Great. And I also want to acknowledge Harrison, even though for whatever reason he couldn't make it to join us tonight.
And his sister's doing it. She went Monday through Friday.
His show, Harrison on the Edge.
Monday through Friday.
I know. Harrison on the Edge on Air America Progressive Talk Radio, KTLK, in Los Angeles. And he's going to be on, just like Carell said, weekdays 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Yes,
and then
is.
Saturday still from 2 to 5 in the afternoon.
Good for him.
So, Carell, I really want to thank you for doing this tonight.
No problem. Anytime.
I'll have you back, believe me.
Don't hesitate to call.
And I want to remind my listeners, if you want to hear this or tell someone to listen to the show within a week, it'll be up on the archives at tellthetruthfaster.com. And I want to close with a thought. This show's about mental health and change. And from someone who's worked with nonprofits for most of my career, even an organization needs a good therapist once in a while to help them look inside and make changes for positive growth. And I'm hoping that it's time that GLAAD changed some of their attitudes and behaviors, and that everybody involved with any nonprofit occasionally took a look inside and reassessed who they are and what their purpose is and whether they're achieving it or whether they need to change that purpose. So this is Stuart Altschuler on Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM 1310 AM in Phoenix. We'll be back next Friday night. I want to thank Carell again, and God bless Harrison, wherever you are tonight. We'll be back again next Friday night. Have a great weekend.